Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm on fire this morning. Is that okay for me to say that? I'm actually in a pretty good mood, but I was up early today. I'm on fire. Thanks for joining us here, folks. Yesterday was pretty profound. We got talking about whether or not we really love the Lord and what it would look like if we really, really did. And I got a lot of comments from a lot of you. I appreciate that. I want to dive in real quickly right now and get moving with what I really want to discuss today. This whole idea of justice. You really want justice? Do you really want justice? Do you really know what justice is? You really know? Because we hear a lot about justice. We want justice for Trayvon, and we want justice for this guy, and we want justice for that guy. Do you really know what it is? Do you really want justice? You know, the Bible tells us that mercy follows judgment or justice. Mercy. See, you cannot, folks, offer forgiveness to someone who has never apologized. Sorry. That's why Jesus, when he's being crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And if you think about it, or if you study it out, you'll find out that just a couple chapters before in that verse, Jesus got himself in trouble because he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that he had the power to forgive sins. He had the power to do it. He said, "My Father and I are one and the same. I got the power to be able to do that, to forgive sins." He said, "Which is easier, to say to this guy, take up thy bed and walk, be healed, take up thy bed and walk, or your sins are forgiven?" And so he said to the guy, "Take up your bed and walk." He poked him in the eye, says, "Watch this, boys. I'm going to heal him, and then I'm going to tell that guy that his sins are forgiven, because I have the power to do both." And I can promise you this, that the one thing that you don't want, America, you don't want justice. No. You don't want justice. No, you don't. And thank God, because Christ came and died on that cross, that today mercy follows justice. You cannot be forgiven of something you haven't been convicted of. Y'all follow me out there? Huh? Listen, here's the horse I'm going to ride a little bit on today, and hopefully you'll get on and go for a ride with me. This whole idea, I said it yesterday, and I'm going to bore down on a little bit harder today. I'm not going to apologize for racism. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. And I see Christians all across America groveling to Black America. Now, I don't know about you, folks. If you did something unjust to any human being in this world, then you ought to go make it right. You ought to go make it right. But I see the American government doing all kinds of things in my name that I didn't give them the authority to do. I see the American government taking my tax dollars and killing babies with it. I didn't give them the authority to do that. But am I guilty because I'm giving them my money and they're going and killing babies? I see the American government teaching in our schools that homosexuality is normal. I didn't give them permission to do that. They're taking my money and they're teaching things that, folks, that isn't justice. That's not justice for them to be able to do that. And it's going on all across America. And I think it's time we sat down and ask ourselves, who's the one that determines justice? And who's the one that determines right and wrong? And where did the American government get the authority to be the arbiter of that? Where did that come from? So I want to say publicly, I'm not racist, never been racist, never did a bad thing to a Black person. I've treated white people worse than I've treated Black people. And you're not going to take that racist label and shove that thing over my head. I'm telling you, you're not going to do it. Right wing watch, whoever's watching this thing right now, I'm not buying into it. I never mistreated a Black person in my life. They say, "Well, there's systematic racism." Folks, there's systematic injustice everywhere you look in our system. Why is Hillary Clinton walking the streets? Is that systematic injustice? Why is she able to get away with what she did scot-free? Why is Obama walking scot-free? Oh, because it's a different class, different sets of people, different ruling classes, aren't there? And so as long as they keep us down there groveling together over racism, it's only two races, those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. And the church is missing it. The church doesn't get it. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to talk with you about today. Thanks for joining us. Anybody want to amen? Anybody want to say anything before I go any further? Hey, listen, send me all the hate mail you want. I don't care. Not a racist bone in my body. By the way, as we found out the other day, that's a made-up term. Race is a made-up term. It's the human race. Human race, all right? I hate a lot of white. I don't hate anybody, but I have a lot of problem. I have more problems with white folk than I do black folk. I don't have time to be racist. Whatever that term even means. And it dominates everything, and it's nothing more than white guilt. I'm going to shut up a minute because I think somebody wants to amen me. Come on.
Yeah, Coach, you know, you're a better, you may be a better man than I am because I do hate some people.
Not because of the race.
I hate the person that tries to put drugs in the path of my grandchildren. Hate the person who tries to put sexual perversion in the path of my grandchildren. I may not know them yet. I may not know who they are, but when I identify them, I hate them.
Well, the Lord hates all workers of iniquity, the Bible. That's a whole nother avenue that I don't really want to go down, but I want to be the guy who stands up and says, let's do away with racism charge. Not racism. That stuff's made up. I want to do away with the charge. I want to head up the group that says no more accusations of racism. I want to lead that group. I don't know how I get in front of it, but I want to tear down the lie of racism. I want to get on that bandwagon. Anybody out there want to join me? Going to join me? I see churches groveling. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Coach, oh, I'll join you on that bandwagon, and I'll even do it without wearing a mask. And, you know, for me, that's a change. But, Roger, in the United States, aren't you innocent until proven guilty? Man, somebody throws a race charge at me, they better be able to prove it. Because if not, I'm ready to go to the mat in the courts or whatever for them lying about me, because if they can't prove their accusation, boy, they're on slippery slope.
Yeah. Well, we know, Larry, that getting a fair, by the way, getting justice out of the justice system is a whole nother boat. Let me reel back here. Let me start out in a nicer mood here this morning. Thanks for joining us. Going to be in Omaha this weekend. Ken Hall's having an event out there. I'm going to jump on the plane. It's the first ministry traveling I've done in golly, how long? Everybody shut down everything. And so jumping on a plane on Friday and going to be out there for the weekend. Look forward to joining. Anybody close to it's not Omaha, I guess. I'm flying into Omaha. It's in Lincoln. Maybe I should have flown into Lincoln. I've never spent much time in Nebraska, but I'm going to be there for an event on Saturday and back home on Sunday. That's in our event schedule. You can find that stuff there. I've got some stuff going on that maybe is not for public consumption. Can I say that? And some of you, I'd like to invite some of you to come and be part of it. I'll figure out a way to how to get that out to you so some of you know, because I think some of you would love to be involved with it. But I don't want to give the enemy, I don't want to send the enemy an invitation, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Can we talk about justice? Can we talk about it today? I got Webster's in there, I think, Sheldon. If you pull it up, it's down near the bottom, isn't it? Where did I put that on there today? Oh, boy, my mind racing, man. Last one, yeah, Sheldon, it's the last one. Justice, social justice. I want to take you on a journey here today. Try to open your eyes a little bit to what's really going on around us. Webster says, justice is a virtue which consists in giving to everyone what he deserves. That's justice. Listen, welfare isn't justice. Welfare is mercy. It's not justice. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to give to people what they deserve. In other words, if they don't work, they don't deserve to eat. That's what justice looks like. That's real justice. Now, thank goodness that mercy follows justice or judgment. Thank God that we do feed the poor. But I want you to know that I have no obligation to do so. No, I have no obligation to do so. All right? So the virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is due, practical conformity to the laws and to the principles of restitude in the dealings of men with each other. See, I think the government owes me money for misusing the tax dollars that I gave them. They took money from me and used it for things I don't approve of. And until they return that, that's injustice. They don't have the right to do that, friends. They don't have the right to do it. It has to do with the dealings with men, with each other, with honesty, integrity in commerce or mutual intercourse. Justice is distributive or commutative. Distributive justice belongs to magistrates or rulers and consists in distributing to every man that right or equity which the laws and the principles of equity require. I have no obligation to give somebody something they did not earn. The government has no right to take from me and give it to someone else. That is not justice. Let's not get these confused. And the principles of equity require, or in deciding controversies according to the laws and to the principles of equity. Commutative justice consists in fair dealing and trade and mutual intercourse between man and man. Justice must be impartial, it says, equal distribution of right in expressing opinions, fair representation of facts respecting merit or demerit in criticisms, narratives, history, or discourse. It's a duty to do justice to every man, whether friend or foe. Again, folks, what is justice? It's the virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Sheldon, pull up for me the Bible and justice. The Bible and justice. You guys picking up what are you with me here so far? See, we don't have justice in America. The Bible says in Isaiah, none call for justice. None. Nobody's calling for justice. What does the Bible say about justice? Well, Proverbs says when justice is done, it's a joy to the righteous, but a terror to evildoers. What? When justice is done, it's a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. You know why people are so upset? There's no justice. Amos said, but let justice roll down like waters. Romans says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Isaiah says, learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's case. That seems like abortion to me. That seems like fatherless, widow, no daddy in there. Let's bring some justice. Where are these fathers that aren't parenting their children? Where are they? Let's bring some justice to them. Wait, hang on. Learn to do good. I said that. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Mike, he says, I told you, man, what's good, and what does the Lord require of you? Do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Isaiah says, for I, the Lord, love justice. I love justice. The Lord loves justice. I hate robbery and wrong. Government taking money from me is robbery. The Lord hates that. He wants justice. You don't work, you don't eat. Right? You with me? You guys, you staying with me? Proverbs says, whoever says to the wicked, you are right, will be cursed by the people. Whoever says to the wicked, you're right. You're right. And so we have elected officials who are wicked. And we say, yep, you're right. You're right. You're right. You do. Yep, you're right. Whoever says that you are right will be cursed by peoples, abhorred by nations. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. That's the guy I want to be. I want to rebuke the wicked. I don't want to tell the wicked they're right. Anybody with me? Anybody out there say amen?
Amen. Come on.
I'm just reading. I'm just reading what the word says. That's all I'm doing. I'm just reading what the Bible says. Evil men do not understand justice. Well, it says for Proverbs 28. But those who seek the Lord understand it completely. I understand it completely. Thus, Zechariah says, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments. Show kindness and mercy to one another. Judgment then gives you the ability to show mercy. How do you know who to give mercy to if there hadn't been any judgment? How do you know who that is, right? Who are you to judge? They tell us, right? You do no justice in court, Leviticus. You shall do no injustice in court. Daggone. You shall not be partial to the poor. What? You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the rich. But in righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. Folks, are we partial to the poor? I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. There's a time for every matter and for every work. Luke says, and I told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there's a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Anybody say amen? Anybody know any of those guys who neither feared God nor respected men? And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this woman keeps bothering me, I'm going to give her justice so that she won't beat me down by continued coming. Psalm says he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of steadfast love of the Lord. Judges says, judge not and you will not be judged. Or Luke says that. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Deuteronomy says, justice and only justice shall you follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God has given you. To do righteous and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. I'm going to read that again. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
Amen. Amen, Coach.
Boy, this is good stuff, folks. This is just the raw word. It's just the raw word. For Romans 13 says, for he is God's servant to you for good. Romans 13, right? He's God's servant to you for good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he doesn't bear the sword in vain. For he's a servant of God, and what? An avenger who carries out wrath on the wrongdoer. Our government's supposed to be carrying out wrath on the wrongdoer, not on the good doer. Like a muddled spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. What? Like a muddled spring or a polluted fountain is a strong righteous man who bows over in front of the wicked. Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him boast, he who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord.
Okay.
Yes.
Go back one. How did pastors process that previous one about bowing down? If that's what the Bible said, how in the world does a pastor process that verse?
I don't know if they do. They've been brainwashed. We've all been brainwashed, right? I could keep going. I want to move on here because we have to be very, very careful, my friends, when we put in front of the word justice, social justice. I got a great video I want to show to you real quick. Sheldon, it simply says social justice. That's all it says, social justice. And this is, I can't remember her name. It's one of Dennis Prager's videos, one of his Prager University videos. You can put it a time and a half, Sheldon. That'll get us a little bit quicker. It's 5 minutes and 34 seconds. Allie, what's her last name? Allie, she'll tell us here in a minute, on social justice. Go ahead.
The Lord is a God of social justice. That's the message in many, maybe most, churches and synagogues in America and the West today. But here's the problem. The Bible doesn't actually say that. It says in Isaiah, the Lord is a God of justice. You'll find a lot of references to justice in the Bible, but you'll never find it preceded by the word social. But you're probably thinking, what's the difference? Isn't God the God of justice and social justice? Well, not if he's consistent. You see, God cannot be the God of justice and social justice because social justice is not just. Justice is getting what you deserve without favor. Social justice is getting what you don't deserve because you are favored. Justice is blind. Social justice is not. Let's say a man robs a store. Justice demands but one thing, that he be tried in a court of justice and, if he is found guilty, punished. That is not how social justice works. Social justice doesn't only ask if the person is guilty. It asks about his economic condition. Is he poor or wealthy? About his upbringing. What kind of childhood did he have? About his race or ethnicity. Is he a member of a group that has been historically oppressed? Justice demands that everyone be equal under the law. Social justice demands that everyone be equal, period. Economically, socially, and in every other possible way. Justice asks, who did it? Social justice asks, why did he do it? Lost in all these social justice considerations is the individual's own responsibility for what he did. That's why social justice advocates have abandoned the term justice. They deem justice alone as unfair. And sometimes it is. A man who was beaten by his father and abandoned by his mother is more likely to commit a violent crime than a man raised in a loving home. But those facts cannot and should not determine his innocence or guilt. Why? Because justice is first and foremost about truth. Is the person guilty or innocent of the crime? None of us is omniscient. We don't know why people do what they do. After all, the vast majority of people raised in abusive homes do not commit violent crimes, nor do the vast majority of people who are members of an historically oppressed group. Being a victim, however that is defined, is no excuse for hurting other people. And what about those who are hurt, the victims of those crimes? Shouldn't they and other law-abiding citizens be society's first consideration? Social justice advocates say no. They say we need social justice to even things out, and that means favoring the have-nots over the haves, the poor over the rich, the female over the male, and the brown or black over the white. The Bible does not see the world this way. In fact, it speaks against it in very explicit terms. Here's a law in the book of Exodus. Do not pervert justice by siding with a crowd, and do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. Here's one in Leviticus. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor justly. Moses, the greatest lawgiver in history, declares in Deuteronomy, follow justice and justice alone. And the New Testament declares in the book of Romans, God shows no partiality. None of this means that there is no place for compassion in a system of justice. Of course there is. The Bible is preoccupied with the protection of the widow, the orphan, and unfortunate. But compassion follows justice. It doesn't precede it. Also, justice in and of itself is compassionate, first to the victims of crime and to their loved ones, and second to the criminal. How can you become a better human being if you don't first recognize that you've done something wrong? That's why anytime we put an adjective before the word justice, we no longer have justice. Economic justice, racial justice, environmental justice, any form of social justice which seeks to correct actual justice undermines justice. So then, if social justice is not a biblical concept, why do so many churches and synagogues promote it? Because many Christians and Jews no longer regard biblical principles as binding, because it's a lot easier to dispense compassion than hold people to a biblical standard. And because leftism has superseded the Bible in many houses of worship, and leftism, as a guiding principle, holds that the weak are good and the powerful are bad. That's why the great battle of our time is between Judeo-Christian values and leftist values. The former is rooted in justice. The latter is not. I'm Allie Beth Stuckey, host of Relatable on Blaze TV for Prager University. Thank you for watching.
So the poor are good and the rich are bad. And justice is taking from the rich and giving to the poor. That is social justice. Yeah, come on in.
Can we say communism?
Can we say communism? That's where I'm going. Yep, that's where we're going today, Paul. And unfortunately, it has so infiltrated the Christian church that Christians can't even get their head above the water enough to understand exactly what's going on. I'm looking at my buddy Mark Mattingly. I see on my screen sitting here, Mark. For me to come, let's say Jeff Klein's a car dealer.
Yes, I don't know if
you, and so you go up and you figure out a way in the business that you do, if you're still going around checking on car dealers, and you go up and check on Jeff's, and somebody pays you to maybe give Jeff a bad mark for whatever reason. And so you get a little money under the table and you feel good because you technically work. Okay. You did give Jeff that mark, but it's really not that big a deal, and Jeff will recover, and you get a little bit more money, and everybody's happy in the end. But, Mark, that's not justice.
No,
that's
sir.
No, right?
Yes, sir, you're right.
And so if Jeff finds out, what's Jeff going to say? I ain't dealing with Mattingly anymore.
Yeah.
I ain't going to deal with him anymore, right? But yet we allow the government to do that very thing, to take Mark Mattingly's money and give it to Jeff. Or to take Jeff's money and give it to Mark without any justice involved. See, in order for there to be a receiver, there has to be a giver. In order for there to be a taker, there has to be somebody it was taken from. And for someone to take your money and use it for a cause that you are not in support of is the ultimate tyranny. And that's where we are in America today. I'll shut up for a minute. Somebody come in and punch me if you think I'm wrong.
Yeah, I want to jump in here. Just 5 minutes ago, I saw one of the guardian angels. We all know who that is, I think, in New York City, just received a hammer to his skull, busting his eye socket, his eye, breaking his nose. Now, these social justice warriors, listen, I'll say, Kyle, I'll say Black Lives Matter, Antifa, college professors, communist college professors, and college indoctrinated students are terrorist organizations aiding and embedding the enemy. Now, now, Kyle, and all the rest of you communist, fascist, leftists, you're about to call down the thunder that you can't imagine. There's a meme on here with Doc Holliday with his six shooters in each hand at the OK Corral saying it's about time to play Antifa versus the Patriots. God help you, people, you leftists, Kyle. God help you if something happens to Donald Trump. The thunder will come down on a population of leftists, fascists, communists that has never been seen before in human history within this country.
Bobby, you're speaking violence against the violent. Is that what you're doing, Bobby? Huh? Bobby, you're supposed to sit around and take it. Don't you know that? Don't you know, Bobby? They've been oppressed. They were raised without a daddy.
My longtime girlfriend is a black woman flying helos all over Northeast Pennsylvania. She got there on her own strength, on her own intelligence, and there's no racism between the two of us and pretty much most of the people around us, except when it's fabricated and created by the social justice warriors.
And Bobby, here's my point. Here's where I'm heading today, folks. There's no place for social justice in the church. There's no place for it. And unfortunately, most of our congregations are now deeply immersed in social justice, in trying to equalize the playing field in this thing we call life. Right? Y'all get it? Y'all understand? Let me show you another video that just blew me away. It's, which one is it? Sheldon, it says soft bigotry. Now, this is a guy named Ami Horowitz. Ami Horowitz sometimes goes to the street and does interviews on the street. So I'm going to show you. Yesterday, we spoke about the soft bigotry of low expectations, right? So here's what you're going to see. Ami Horowitz is going to go into the liberal white community and ask about voting, requiring an ID for voting. And is it racist for it to do it? And you're going to see all the white people say, oh, yes, that's so racist, yada, yada, yada. Why? Because they assume that blacks are stupid. They assume blacks are stupid. Blacks can't go get an ID. They're stupid. Now, they would never say that, but they'll say, we won't require an ID at voting because blacks are too stupid to know where to get an ID. Now, I think that's bigotry. That's what I think, right? And then Ami goes and talks to black people and says, yeah, you have an ID? This is fascinating. 4 minutes and 23 seconds. Watch this.
I'm Ami Horowitz, and I'm here in Berkeley, California, to find out if voter ID laws suppress the black vote. Do you have an opinion on voter ID laws?
Yeah, they're usually pretty racist and they're bad.
I think voter ID laws are a way to perpetuate racism.
Would you go as far as say those laws are racist?
For sure.
Do you think it suppresses the African American vote?
Definitely.
Because they're less likely to have state IDs.
Minority voters are less likely to have the kinds of IDs that have been described or required.
These type of people don't live in areas with easy access to DMVs or other places where they can get identification.
You can always get IDs do over the internet. Is that also make it difficult for black people in particular?
Yeah, you have to have access to the internet. You have to be able to pay an internet service provider for certain fees.
Do you think that's harder for black people to go online?
Well, IDs? I feel like they don't have the knowledge of how it works.
A lot of people have smartphones, but you might not have data.
For most of the communities, they don't really know what is out there just because they're not aware or they're not informed. I also think there's a repression of black voting with how if you're a convicted felon, you're not allowed to vote and everything. And when you look at swing states like Florida, that's a huge population of the African Americans.
Now I'm here in East Harlem to ask black people their thoughts on what you just heard. Do you have ID normally? You carry ID around?
Yes, I have state ID.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know anybody, any black person who doesn't carry ID?
No.
Everyone that I know has an ID. Why would they think we don't have ID?
That's a lie. Why would they say that?
Do you have ID?
Yes.
Because I have my ID and my friends have their ID, so like we know what we need to carry around.
Everybody that I know have ID. Like, that's one of the things you need to walk around with New York with, ID.
Do you know any black adult who does not have ID?
No, I don't.
Is it a weird thing to even say that?
Yes, it is.
What is this, some type of trick candy camera?
I like know, that? Right?
That's the only thing I brought with me.
Those are legit IDs. I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
Really?
What does that say to you?
I know where that is, on 25th Street.
Do you know where the ID, the DMV is around you?
It's on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue, I believe.
You know how to get there?
Yeah.
Do you have a problem getting there if you have to get there? I know these sound like silly questions. You know how to get the DMV?
Of course.
You know where it is?
Yes.
You can get there?
Uh-huh.
No problem.
No problem.
Just checking.
Okay.
And I also heard a lot that black people, especially poor black people, have no access to the internet, can't figure out how to use the internet.
That's just stupidity, honestly. Everybody has access to the internet. Even a little kid could figure out how to work the internet.
I had access to the internet for years.
You know how to use it properly,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I do it at work. So, of course, I know how to use it. Smart. My kids know how to use it. They all have iPads, iPods, whatever.
Your phone has data?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually internet
unlimited.
Unlimited data?
Mm-hmm.
I use my phone as a hotspot.
What does that say to you for the people who have this perception of black people?
They're pretty much ignorant. That's what my thought process is.
I just think that's ignorant.
Ignorant.
Ignorant. That's the
very,
word I hear
very
a lot.
Ignorant.
Ignorant.
Very, very ignorant.
Does it sound racist for somebody to say that?
I think it is a little racist because, you know, you're putting people in a category and you have no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe a little bit of racist in it, but like I said, I think it's more stupidity and ignorance.
You're judging somebody, like, but you're judging them because they're black, saying that they don't got it.
What people are they talking to? Who are these people talking to?
Do you have a problem that if you go to vote and they say, can we please see your ID to make sure you are who you say you are? Are you
cool? Love showing my ID.
You have no problem with that?
Nope.
Would you have a problem if when you go to vote, if they say, can we please see your ID to make sure you are who you say you are? Do you have an issue with that?
No.
Would you have a problem if there was a rule where you had to show your ID in order to vote?
I don't think so. No.
Would you have an issue if there was a rule saying you got to show your ID before you vote?
No.
Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
There you are. There you are. And see, here's the problem. I don't care about any of that, folks, other than our churches have bought into it. Hook, line, and sinker.
Amen, coach.
Hook, line,
amen.
Right? Blacks are stupid. That's what white America has been taught. That is the soft bigotry of low expectations. Isn't that an unbelievable, unbelievable video? Unbelievable.
Well, speaking of the government taking away things and giving them to others, just down the street from the Planned Parenthood in Whitehall is a kiosk that says free phones. In order to pay for those phones and the data, all of us that pay for our phones are taxed a little bit and have been for several years. And so, yeah, it's available to anybody, no matter their economic status. They can get on the internet easily.
Well, we found out from Mason Weaver the other day that 75% of black Americans are middle class and above. 75%, right? And so they perpetuate this lie about, folks, it's communism. Social justice is communism. Okay? Now, I want to kind of shift gears here without shifting too hard, because I got some things I got to point out to you. I wrote a commentary about President Trump today. Maybe I'll get a chance to get there. I want to make a point with you before I do. Sheldon, bring up, it says Catholics gripe. Catholics gripe. All right. Let's see here. Let me get over that page. D.C. Archbishop criticizes long-planned Trump visit to Catholic shrine as reprehensible. So the president of the United States shows up at this shrine with his wife, kneels and prays or appears to pray before this shrine and the Catholic bishop doesn't like it. Somebody tell me, the hell's that all about? Can somebody tell me? What's that about? Why are they up? Why would any archbishop care if the president kneeled and prayed at a shrine? Come on, somebody come in here and help me.
John 10, coach.
John, thief cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy, and I've come that you might have life, but have it more abundantly. So, in other words, this D.C. Archbishop criticizes Trump because the Archbishop is probably a Democrat, I would think. I would think. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Sheldon, bring up for me today Episcopal's gripe. The Episcopal's gripe. Now, folks, these are Christians now. This isn't the pagans. This isn't the witches. This is the Christians complaining. Yeah, I don't know what. I want to show the pic.
Loudest critics in the past 12 hours or so has been the bishop who oversees that historic church. Again, St. John's Church, known as the Church of Presidents. I had an opportunity to speak with the bishop who oversees it just a few minutes ago.
Well, consider the context. After making a highly charged emotional speech to the nation where he threatened military force, his officials cleared peaceful protests with tear gas and horses and walked onto the courtyard of St. John's Church and held up a Bible as if it
Freeze
were
that.
A prop
Freeze
or an
it.
Extension
Freeze
of
it.
His military
it,
and authority.
Look at that. All are welcome. All are welcome. The President of the United States standing in front of a Christian church, holding a Christian Bible with a sign that says, all are welcome.
He just revealed their total hypocrisy, coach, and they hate it.
They hate it. They hate it.
Don't Amen.
I'm going
not
somewhere.
To mention she's a liar, because the fact of the matter is that they did not use tear gas. So
that's right.
Liars
that's right.
have their place in the lake of fire.
Amen.
She's
so,
a liar.
Okay, hang on. Stay with me. So click on Bush runs his mouth. Bush runs his mouth. Click on that one for me, Sheldon. Folks, these are Christians. These are Christians opposing a president standing for Christianity because he's not a good enough Christian for them. Or
these are people
Christian.
Claiming to be Christians, Coach. Don't
Absolutely.
Call them Christians.
These are people claiming to be Christians, saying the president isn't one. Right?
That's right.
Huh? Come on, stay with me here. Stay with me.
In the words of C.S. Lewis, she's no more Christian than she is a poached egg.
Amen. So former President George W. Bush, he had to get involved here, right? He's the one that came up with the term soft bigotry of low expectations. Now, he didn't punch the president in the face. He just punched him in the knee. But hey, folks, do you understand that the nation is in the condition? Do you understand the nation got bogged down in the Middle East war for what's been almost 20 years because of Christian George W. Bush? Are you guys aware of that? Are you aware of that? Are you aware that the deep state that Donald Trump is dealing with today was populated by George W. Bush appointees? Are you guys picking up on this? Are you picking up on this? I thought Christians are to judge not. Thought they were judge not. So let's do this real quickly. Go to my commentary real quickly, Sheldon. I got to get this in.
Hey, coach, before you go there, just, that military guy got up and held a press conference and went against
Mattis.
Everything Trump said.
Yeah, Mad Dog Mattis, right? The ships, do you think, I don't know this. I wish I had my buddy Steve Klein on here. He could tell some things about Mad Dog Mattis. Do you think Mad Dog Mattis is a Christian? Or is he one of those, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly? Do we have the ungodly calling the ungodly ungodly? If he thinks Trump is ungodly, based on what would General Mattis be able to make a value judgment on somebody who's are you following me?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, it wasn't Mattis. It wasn't Mattis. It was Mattis.
Mattis came out.
The guy that held the press conference yesterday about the National Guard.
He disagreed
with Trump's approach.
Yeah. I never seen anything like it. Never seen such disloyalty in all of my life. There's something really, really, something really big happening going on. God, Sheldon, bring up my commentary real quick. I want to get this in. I want to get this in because it's important.
It's time to be vexed over stupidity.
It is. I told you I was wound up today. I gave you fair warning. Sheldon, you can just click on it. Newswithhughes.com. It's right at the very top. It's the very top thing that I sent you. Newswithhughes.com. Heinz 57 brand of Christianity in America today. Because I'm going to point out some unbelievable hypocrisy, which is what we're talking about, and justice and judgment and mercy. And why are our churches given more credence and more grace to the sinning left than they are? Okay, so here we go. Look, it's time to start rowing. Look, I don't know whether Donald Trump is a real Christian or not. In fact, I don't know if we're capable of determining what is in another person's heart. I see a lot of people do things that surprise me, especially when they identify as Christians. That word Christian has become almost meaningless to me. So you can say amen anytime you want to. As someone who takes his faith very seriously, I often find myself scratching my head over the Heinz 57 brand of Christianity I see in America today. Obama claimed to be a Christian, though I really didn't believe him. I saw a lot of red flags in his confession. But who am I to judge, right? At least that's what I hear from many of my Christian friends. And then G.W. Bush claimed to be born again, and he got a lot of mileage with the Christian community out of that confession. And who am I to judge, right? He says he's a Christian. Should be good enough for me. Bill Clinton was regularly seen attending church with a Bible under his arm. His attendance increased after he was caught donging that woman, Miss Lewinsky, in the oral orifice. But who are we to judge, right? Poppy Bush admitted he'd never had a road to Damascus experience. So you can't be born again, folks, if you haven't had a road to Damascus experience. But he claimed to have he never had one. But he was a sort of Christian, except when he was promoting the New World Order. I guess that was Christ-like, trying to overthrow America as we knew it. After all, he was promoting 1,000 points of light. He would have been better off promoting the light, rather than trying to create a new worldly system. But he was a Christian, so what right do I have to question that? Jimmy Carter was also born again, and he was a Sunday school teacher. And he initiated the hard slide left in this nation. I'm a Christian, and of course, Christians don't judge, so hey, go Jimmy. But let me be clear, not one of these Christian presidents lifted a finger to protect the preborn. I guess fighting for innocent human life is no longer a requirement for a Christian. So I was a bit flummoxed when I saw that many Christian leaders were upset at President Trump when he used the Bible as a prop outside the fake church full of fake Christians at the recently torched St. John's Episcopal Church near the White House. I think they were upset to see the president carrying a Bible. Some of America's churches and many of America's pastors have never seen a Bible before. They were shocked to see one, especially in public.
Amen.
Why do so many Christians seem to hate President Trump? Why are so many of our Christian leaders so judgmental of President Trump's Christianity when they so cavalierly gave a pass to the fake Christians who occupied the White House before the Trump family? All of a sudden, it seems Christians are now permitted to judge others, at least when it comes to the presidency. Look, I don't know whether Donald Trump's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or not, but I personally trust him more than any other president in my lifetime. We have the deep state today because of Messrs. Obama, Bush, Clinton, Carter, and Bush Sr. They didn't do a damn thing to stop the onslaught of evil in this nation. In fact, they expanded it. Not one of them drained the swamp. They filled it. The government hacks destroying this nation were hired by the phony five who preceded Trump. I thank God every day that Hillary wasn't elected. God's merciful even when we don't deserve it. But here's the rub, at least from my point of view. From the moment he was elected president, Trump has been a friend of the Christian church. He's done everything he could to invite the church to get involved in helping restore this nation. He's the most Christian-friendly president in my lifetime. But he's not Christian pure enough for many of America's Pharisaical Christian leaders. He offered to remove the Johnson Amendment, the muzzle that was placed on the pulpits by the IRS. He's invited regular prayer teams into the Oval Office. He's called for the teaching of the Bible in our schools. He's defended the preborn. He declared that churches were essential when they were self-quarantined. He's made Christianity illegal again. But he doesn't act Christian enough for some folks. Fake Christians.
Hey, see, Coach.
Hang on. America's in a battle for its very survival. Christianity is clearly, folks, Christianity is clearly in the sights of the atheistic left, who sees control of every institution in America. President Trump was sending a message to the pulpits of America when he took the short stroll to church on Monday. Christian America is burning, and he needs the church's help in the battle for our nation. America's crumbling because we've lost the influence of Christianity. So there he stood in front of that leftist fake church and sent a message to America's pulpits. What was his message? Well, permit me the license to interpret what I think he was saying to us. Please help me, church. I can't fight this fight alone. I'm a flawed man. I'm president, not pastor. You know and I know that a return to the Bible is the only hope for this nation. And I stand here in front of this dead church, Bible in hand, and appeal to America's pulpits to please rise from the dead and help me in this great battle to save Christian America. I can't do it alone. I need your help. God needs you to rise to the occasion. The future of America rests in the hands of the men in God's house, not the White House.
Amen.
We do. Why do we expect the president to fight for what our pulpits will not? He's extended a hand asking for our help. Pastors, put down your stones and grab a paddle. Where is the church? The ship is sinking. Come out of hiding. Now's the time to jump in the boats and start rowing. Come on in, Chuck. Come on in, Jack.
Amen, Coach.
You know, Coach, I went out preaching yesterday. I talked about Pride Month, and I was in front of this Threshing Floor Ministries. No one came out because they had a meeting inside the building this time. But a woman came over to me because she heard me preaching, and I gave my testimony. And she came over to me and has asked me, do I have a brochure or a card? I said, no. She asked about the church that was behind me. I told them what they do. Then she confessed to me that my husband died a couple months ago. And she started crying. I'm like, oh boy, what can I say? Then this verse came to me in Matthew chapter 5. And it's about the Beatitudes. It said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, you have anything? I said, I have my card. And so I handed her my card. And she walked away in tears.
Mm. Amen, Jeff. Bless you, man.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
This whole thing, God's exposing the Nicolaitans, the Laodiceans, and the Hirelings all at one time. They're all being exposed.
Amen.
Coach, every one of them.
Hey, guys, do you think of the guys that I named, let's go back, Obama, Bush Jr., Clinton, Bush Sr., Carter, was there a real Christian in the midst of those? Did you ever hear the Christian church complaining because they weren't Christian enough? Did you ever hear that, folks?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, how about Ronald Reagan?
Yeah. He's the one that gave us no-fault divorce. I was going to go back to him, but we all bow our knee to Ronald Reagan. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I just wish somebody – I want to end racism. If racism is present, I want to end it. Nobody's told me how to end it.
You know why, Roger? Because there isn't such a thing.
Well,
it's like getting rid of Santa Claus.
I agree, Coach.
And they know it, see? They know it. We the church thinks blacks can't get an ID. It's amazing, right? That's what the church thinks.
It's just a way to fragment us. Way to weaken us. Yes, sir.
Coach, Jesus warned us in Luke 21:10 that Satan was going to use skin color to divide us. He warned us about it. He told us it was coming. In the last days, Satan's going to use our skin color to divide us. And you don't hear any pulpits, any preachers, black, white, Chinese, whatever they are, you don't hear anybody even preaching about that.
Amen. See, listen, guys, I hate all injustice, as does the Lord. I'm more impacted by the injustice of our political class. That affects me more than any black man ever will impact my life. I'm more impacted by the injustice of the Internal Revenue Service than any black man that I'll ever come in contact with. I'm more impacted by the NWO, World Health Organization. I'm more impacted by the lying scum at the World Health Organization than by any black man ever. Folks, injustice is everywhere. Government is unjust. Government is full of unjust people. Government is full of unjust edicts. Government is full of unjust propaganda. And unfortunately, the only people in the world who are permitted today to scream about injustice are black people. They're the only ones allowed to scream about it. I'm going to tell you something. I'm tired of the oppression. I'm tired of the Christian oppression. I'm tired of me paying for the schools and my kids not being able, my grandkids, they don't go to public schools. I'm tired of paying the government schools to teach my grandchildren or my neighbor's children lies. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of that injustice. I'm tired of our government schools not being allowed to say a prayer before. I'm tired that if you are of the fact that if you are a Christian, you are a second class citizen when you run for office, when you seek office, when you seek a job. Many of us, I know I'm telling you the truth. Many of you, when you go for a job, you try to hide your Christianity because it is the greatest bigotry of all in America.
That's right.
Coach, you're on this. You are so on this.
I am so on this. And I know a guy in the huddle, and I'm not going to embarrass him. He wouldn't be embarrassed. But he said that sometimes when I'm trying to get a job, I realize I'm in trouble because if they go to my social media Facebook page, they're going to find out what I really think and I really believe. And you tell me that's not bigotry? That you can't go to work for that business because of what you believe, because of your faith. You're not allowed to say what you really believe. Folks, that's oppression. That's injustice. It's all around us. And it ain't racism, baby. It ain't black and white. I'm sorry. It ain't black and white. It isn't. It isn't.
Hey, Coach. First,
the people that are realizing this are being set free. The bondage is leaving them as soon as they hear this truth. And they start recognizing they've been patronized, babied, lied to. They are so angry because they realize they have been bought. This whole thing was an invisible. It's been visible. There's not even there. Nothing there to it.
No, it's good. They've overplayed their hand on it, Randy. Go ahead, Jeff.
These truths that you're bringing forward today, all this stuff, that's what we're basically going to do when we carry our Bibles into that protest in Coshocton. We're going down to inform some of these people because it'll be more peaceful down there. We'll be able to engage these people. That's what we're going to do, is one of the crowd of us, and we're going down there to try and make sense.
We got to tell people, are you racist? No. Stop apologizing then. Stop it.
Hey, Coach,
here's the thing. If you look at the four guys that was involved in this deal the other day, one of them was black, one of them was Chinese, one of them was a Mexican. My God, the every array of skin color was involved in that thing. And most of the jump went down.
The only guy who wasn't racist was the guy who died. He just loved everybody. He was just the most pure. He loved every race, but boy, all those other people, they're racist. I'm sick of it, man.
Well, think about it, Coach. Most of the junk that went down with Obama, other than I think the Ferguson deal, there was black people involved in all of it. Black officers. So how do you even get racism in the mix when you got black officers that got all this stuff going on and they're right in the midst of it? It's just ridiculous.
Do you remember when we were not permitted to question Obama's Christianity? Anybody remember that? Huh?
Oh, we're even allowed to use his middle name.
Oh, you can't do that. Oh, no. Boy, look what they're doing to Trump. Christians doing to Trump. Christians.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Two things real quick. Number one, as I rarely do this, but someone who is listening now, more than one person, as I was told, has been listening for a while and has heard the message about the lies and the evil that is coming from most of the pulpits in this country. Yet you still make excuses. You still sit in the pew. The Holy Spirit told me there's some of you that need to make a decision today, because you're going to stay in the pasture on the side of the fence that you choose. And the second thing is that, this is just a little, I guess I could call it a personal quirk of mine. But, you know, a lot of times when we quote the Bible, the word B-L-E-S-S-E-D, sometimes we say it blessed. Oh, God blessed me. Other times we say blessed. You know what? I think blessed carries more strength than blessed.
Amen. Amen. Come on in, Joe. Coach,
Clinton was in that time frame, when Clinton was carrying around a Bible when he got in trouble there, he did an executive ordinance to all government agencies, federal, because we could not have a Bible on our desk or anything like that back then. When he got in trouble there, he passed an executive ordinance to all federal offices that they could have a Bible on their desk. Before that, we couldn't.
Let me ask a question there, folks. I made a statement, and I got just a couple minutes here of feedback. Can anybody show me where I was wrong when I stated that he was the most Christian-friendly president in my lifetime? Not Christian, not him personally. Can anybody name a more Christian-friendly president than Donald Trump?
No.
Not one.
Christian-friendly, not personally acting Christian. Christian friendly. Can you name of one person who said, come on in, Jesus? Hey, you pastors, bring Jesus in. Jesus is welcome here in the White House. Can you name one? George W. Bush ran from public proclamation of his faith for fear it wouldn't do him good politically. They say, well, Trump's doing it for politics, you dummy. He ain't a Christian. Well, maybe he's not, but he's inviting Christianity in. He's making Christianity legal again. And the Pharisees can't do anything except gripe about his personal non-Christianity. I never seen anything like it in my life.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. I use that a lot when the churchgoers, that's what I call them, the churchgoers come in my car lot. We used to say, Donald Trump's got one foot in the door looking over his shoulder waiting on you to come through the door. Why aren't you coming through the door? And then they stand there and look at you and they don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Not a word.
Amen. Yes.
I think these people are doing it.
Maybe Donald Trump needs to follow suit with Barack Obama. Get a beer. Go get the police officers and a family. Go have a beer, because that's what solves everything, right?
Yeah, that's right. Come on in, Brian.
I think what these people are doing is they're being convicted because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
That's right. How could anybody be against a president of the United States standing in front of church and holding up a Bible? How could that be offensive to any Christian in America? I don't get it. He needs to open it and read it. Well, like they have.
Coach, have you heard the backstory of that Bible?
Was that his own Bible? Yeah, I've heard.
The coach. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, the truth is, those anti-Trumpers that say one thing, you know, while they're on the show, maybe, and do something different, they're right here amongst us. That's what's interesting. There are anti-Trumpers who profess to be anti-Trump out in public, and I just. He's our president. You know, we were anti-Obama, but we prayed for the country. We prayed for the presidency, the office, the administration. You know, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Mark, I voted against Obama every time he ran. I voted against him. I was not a supporter of him. But
hey, Coach.
the way all hell's coming against Trump, I'd say he's definitely legit.
I think so too.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
So what do we do with all these Christians that know what they're supposed to do, but they won't do it while we have the time?
Well, Gary, you keep coming up with the same question I wish I had an answer to.
Yeah.
Yep. I wish I had an answer.
Coach, I'll be quick. I'm going out there again today, and I'll lose my voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to do.
That's all we can do, man. That's all we can do. And is it any wonder that Christianity is not winning? When I said Heinz 57 varieties, Christianity has become whatever it is you want to slap on your hamburger. That's what Christianity has become. Who are you to judge? They tell me all the time. Who are you to judge? Shoe fits where. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, everyone.